On tonight's show, we are wrapping up the regular season and getting ready for the postseason, Thomas.
Oh, it's so good. We got championships lined up in other sports. We got football that we've got the divisions lined up. And then our final word, why are the awards leaving us out?
G5, no love.
Not at all.
Drop a beat. On the show tonight, we've got...
Every night was a battle.
You can lock this in, take it to the bank.
No class at all. It's unbelievable.
They should see a relatively quick turnaround.
Show me the money.
Big water slides, snow cone truck and everything.
One team stands alone.
Well, you know what I think about Troy.
I'm losing my mind over here.
We've got the moment you've all been waiting for.
Of course.
Welcome into the show, ladies and gentlemen. It is Thanksgiving Thursday. If you're probably watching football at this point, right?
I probably am.
Have we peaked yet? Have we peaked on the little thingy?
You did. You nearly broke my microphone there.
That was a live turkey, ladies and gentlemen. We have a live turkey in studio.
I still don't know why you brought him.
He kind of just wandered in here, to be honest with you.
Well, yeah.
I got him at Publix. They said he was going to be ready by Thursday. He's still alive.
Wandered is a very loose definition.
You worked at Publix. I didn't know you guys even had live turkeys.
I didn't either.
Well, I found him at Publix. That's basically what happened. His name is Ralph.
Just keep him away from the rest of the equipment. We'll be fine.
Well, welcome in, everyone. This is the Bench Boys podcast, not the Turkey Day podcast.
Yeah.
It's something.
We're not talking turkey.
No, we're not talking turkey. What about the fried chicken? Have you seen the fried chicken, kid? I like fried chicken.
No.
It's
yes.
Fried chicken. He got Chick-fil-A for a year.
You know, I'm not going to be mad if I got that.
I would love fried chicken for a year.
Oh, yeah.
Every day I get a fried chicken sandwich. Just a chicken sandwich. I'm not even going to get into the Popeyes things. We've talked about that earlier.
Yeah. No, that's what I'm saying. I wouldn't even be mad.
Just fried chicken. Fried chicken.
Give it here. I'll eat it
it's
right
fried
now.
Fried chicken. I'm Colin.
I'm Thomas.
And happy Thanksgiving.
And that's Ralph over there in
the
corner.
And Ralph is in the corner now. I think he's figuring out he might be lunch meat for next week.
It's chicken, not turkey, dude.
Yeah, we're not talking about you.
Anyway.
This is the Bench Boys. Happy Thanksgiving. I hope you guys are having a wonderful day. If you are listening to this after Thanksgiving, I hope you had.
I hope you fall asleep to this later on.
Yeah.
All that tryptophan.
Our lovely voices are like babbling brooks.
The emphasis on the babbling.
Yeah, right?
Definitely.
So, we're here. We got a lot to talk about. The season is wrapping up. We've got huge games this week. We had huge games last week. And let's get it all into it.
No, before we get into anything.
Okay.
You got to hit that subscribe button, man. You nearly forgot.
I did.
You got to hit that subscribe button so you keep getting our updates, keep getting our episodes when they come in fresh and new, out of the oven like a turkey.
It's all the gravy, man. It's all the gravy.
It is. I got gravy on the mind. Also, follow us on Twitter at the OG Bench Boys for the hottest takes, fresh like the rolls out your mama's oven.
And we are the best group of five podcasts. I'm just going to put that down right now.
Yeah.
I don't boast about it too much.
How many other podcasts bring a turkey into the studio?
A live turkey.
A live turkey.
The feathers are everywhere.
They really are.
God, we're going to have to clean.
Uh-huh.
It's going to be like Baker Mayfield coming in on that one commercial.
Is there a broom anywhere?
I don't know. We got disinfectant wipes someplace.
Anyway, we'll handle that after the show. First, let's get out the gate.
Out of the gate.
Ralph, still talking. Still talking.
He has his own mic.
He literally has his own mic right now. I think we might get him a pair of headphones so he can.
I'm a little concerned, honestly.
Talking right now. Out the gate, ladies and gentlemen.
Not like he'd understand us, but
he's just sitting there looking at you. At this point,
with those dead beady eyes, dude.
I kind of want to tickle what's the little thing under his?
I don't know, but this is a G-rated program, and we're going to keep it that way.
Okay, out the gate, man, we had a huge weekend last weekend that decided, I was dead wrong on my bold prediction. I didn't think that our conferences would be wrapped up Man, was I wrong. I guess the Sun Belt doesn't like being Fun Belt for the last couple of weeks because they were just like, nope, we're going to solve everything right here.
Making our lives easier. We got App State wrapped up. They're going to the championship. Louisiana going back to the championship. It's a rematch of last year, and nobody is surprised.
No, I don't think anybody is surprised. You know, and I mean, App State did win, but it was really because of Ark State and Georgia Southern result of the reason why App State won last week. If Georgia Southern would have won, the East would have still been up for grabs. But since Georgia Southern lost, they have three losses. There's just no way. Let's talk about that Georgia Southern-Arkansas State game.
It was a good game.
Arkansas State was rolling.
Yeah.
I mean, rolling. It was like 35-10 at one point.
I tuned out.
It was ugly at one point. But Georgia Southern did not quit, came back. Literally came down to, I'm going to say, probably about 3 inches. There's a really good shot of the fourth down conversion where
they
came up about 3 inches short. But heck of a game. Ark State goes to 7-4. They got a chance at winning 8 games, which a lot of people inside the Ark State program said, if you would have told them you would have had all these injuries, you would have had Logan Bonner gone down, and you would have picked up basically a freshman at quarterback and won 8 games. I mean, is that just typical Arkansas State right there?
Like, yeah. They are the Nebraska of the Sun Belt. They are the Bo Pelini of the Sun Belt.
Oh, they just get 8 wins,
they
8, 9 wins.
They just get 8 wins every year. Yeah. And they coast.
You can just pencil them in.
Yep.
I mean, the 1 year they lost to Central Arkansas, they didn't win a non-conference game 1 year. And they won 8 games.
And they won undefeated in the conference.
It's insane. 445 yards. For the Red Wolves, 354. I mean, the best thing was, you know, we talked about them last week. It was a sloppy game they were in. They had like 5 turnovers. Still somehow beat Coastal Carolina with 5 turnovers. This week only had 1 turnover. That time of possession still pretty low. Only had 22 minutes of time of possession.
But we talked about that. That's Georgia Southern's MO.
Yeah, that's and somehow Georgia Southern goes 37 minutes and they lose the ball game. So Arkansas State, they jumped out on them. And then was kind of able to hold that lead. Georgia Southern almost had 300 yards rushing, which that's where they want to get every game.
Yep.
So, I mean, but a 38-35 win for Arkansas State over the weekend. Got absolute them to 7 nail-biter. Wins. That definitely puts them into a bowl game now. I think they're probably going to go to the Cure Bowl. If they win this week, could have a shot at going into the...
And we discussed this last week. I've discussed this on Twitter. I've discussed this everywhere. I mean, at this point, it's basically wrapped up. Who is the number 3 team in the conference right now? Right now, based on what we looked at, it's got to be Arkansas State.
Yeah.
Dan Ellington's out, so that's Georgia State out. So the number 3 team is Arkansas State, and based on the way that these bowls are picked, that pretty much guarantees them a spot in the Cure Bowl.
Which I think the Cure Bowl will want.
Exactly. Exactly.
I really think
that's been a storyline all season.
Yeah.
Let's keep moving forward.
This is one of our do or die games.
Yes.
That was a lot better than the other one. ULM and Coastal Carolina, 2 teams.
Another one, yeah.
Coming in, both sitting at 4-6. Both had to win this ball game.
Yep.
Both of them had to win it to keep their bowl game hopes alive. Incredible game. I mean, this was the offensive explosion that a lot of people thought these two teams would have a lot this year just because of how good their offenses were. I mean, obviously, Caleb Evans.
And it came in do-or-die time.
It came in do-or-die time. Caleb Evans, 350 yards of total offense, 2 touchdowns, 1 interception. Our boy Josh Johnson, 19 carries for 130 yards. And then I think it's Mike McCray. Marcus McCray, 117 yards receptions. Those were the leaders for ULM. I mean, that's usually, if you have a 100-yard receiver, you got a 100-yard rusher, and you got a quarterback that throws for over 300 yards, you should win the game. Like, you should.
Yeah.
On the other side, C.J. Marable, our favorite, you know, scat back running back, 18 carries for 172 yards.
That's a bell cow. That's a bell cow. Count it down. It's
right
a bell
there.
Cow.
Right there. 18 carries, 172 yards, 2 touchdowns. He was about all they had really in the game. I mean, this game was back and forth. There was 28 points scored in the first quarter. 28 between the two teams. 14-14. And then, I mean, there were 2 quarters where both teams scored 14 points. Coastal scored 14 points in 3 quarters. In first, third, and fourth quarters. I mean, that right there you're thinking, okay, that's good. 2 touchdowns a quarter, we'll be good.
We should be good. Normally, that's, hang on, 14, three times. Let's do the math there. That's 42.
There you go.
Yeah, not enough to beat
45.
Oh, well, yeah.
And we know how to do math here on Thanksgiving Day.
Not very well, but we can do it.
But, I mean, if you go and you look at their output, 222 passing. This is Coastal that we're talking about here.
Right.
230 on the ground. I mean, that's pretty balanced right there. It's just
very balanced.
You're looking for some sort of defense that could stop Caleb Evans. That just didn't happen because ULM had 563 total yards of offense. And it just, you know, but fireworks at this game, 45-42. ULM gets the all-important fifth win going into the last week. Fortunately, Coastal, again, this year it's week 11,
yeah,
basically. That they get knocked out of bowl bid. So they're right there. They're really close. They're getting better. That is a program that I think is getting better.
Absolutely. As the years have gone on. I mean, this entire, just looking at the slate of games we had last week, the teams that were playing in them and their records, it's obvious that this entire conference has taken a step forward, and we've beaten that dead horse long enough. Mm-hmm. I think it's time to move forward and look at the team that ULM's got to face this weekend. Louisiana over Troy. Let's go ahead and get into that because we got a lot to say about that. Yeah.
Ralph, you doing good over there in the corner? Because Troy got put in the corner this weekend too. 53-3 is our friend Ben Whitehead did some statistical research.
Literally an at Ben on Sports fact of the day.
This is the at Ben on Sports random fact of the day. Troy had never, ever in the 100 years, they've been playing football for about that long, right?
110, yeah.
Well, okay, 110 years. And over 100 years of football in Troy, Alabama, never have they lost to a conference opponent by 50 points. Ever. We saw some pretty dark days in the Larry Blakeney years at the end.
Yeah, I was having flashbacks.
Never once had they lost to a conference foe by 50 points. They lost to Georgia by a lot, but that's Georgia.
I flashback to that game. I flashback to the Abilene Christian game when they lost in overtime.
Yep.
This
was... And I'm not taking anything away from UL. We've talked about Louisiana being a physical team.
They are 8-2.
They're 9-2 now.
They're 9-2.
Yeah. We are way more physical than you, and we know it, and they showed it. All game long. 344 yards passing, which, that's been done before against this Troy defense, and 254 yards on the ground. They averaged 7 yards on the ground. They average 8 yards a pass attempt. Guess what? You do that twice, you get first downs.
Yeah, either one.
Either one.
Take your pick.
Take your pick. You're getting a first down in 2 plays. It was a total unraveling. 3 turnovers by Troy. 2 interceptions. 1 fumble. You had 53 yards of penalties. Only 156 yards rushing. 200 yards passing. This was the biggest one right here. Troy, I think they started out 0 of 9 on their first 9 third down attempts. Did not complete a third down attempt. In their first 9 tries. Not good.
They ended that
4 of 15. Yeah.
So they went 4 of 6. But you need that the whole game.
The whole game. It just the offense finally, I mean, and let me tell you something. Troy, there's been so much pressure on that offense to score because that offense going out, I'm sorry, but prove me wrong, that offense knows going out, okay, if we don't score here, we're probably going to be down 7 more points coming back on the field. That's how it is. I mean, look at all the barn burners that they've been in. Look at this game. You put so much pressure on an offense to constantly put points on the board every drive. This was bound to happen. I mean, there's going to be a game.
You're right, but that is an offense that has been tuned to do that. Yeah. That offense has done that up until this point in the season. Yep. I even had to admit and apologize on Twitter because of it.
I did see that.
Right? this offense, there's no reason whatsoever this offense should have put more than 3 points on the board. That is ridiculous. I don't care what you have to say about the defense. This is a letdown on both sides of the ball. Can't talk about special teams. Never saw them all game. But this was a letdown on both sides of the ball. And this is the first time the offense was a letdown.
I mean, this is the other thing here. You had Levi Lewis had a heck of a game. 21 of 33, 273 yards, one touchdown. Great game. Their backup, I can't pronounce his name, McGly, 6 of 6, 71 yards. He had a great game. But then you go down to their running backs. And their running game, that is what they do. It is their running game. Just listen to these carries of their top running backs. 5, 11, 7, 7. You know how fresh those guys were the entire game?
That was literally a carousel.
Like 11 carries. That was Trey Regis for 79 yards. 5 carries by Chris Smith, who's a freshman, by the way. Who we talked to Mr. Cody Junior early in the year when they played. I think it was our first week when they played Mississippi State. He said they have the three stable. They have the stable of the three running backs, but there's a fourth guy there. His name's Chris Smith. Well, Chris Smith decided to show up this game because he had 5 carries for 87 yards and a touchdown as a freshman. Against a team that prides themselves all year long, that had prided themselves on, well, our defense isn't the greatest, but we know how to stop the run.
That didn't happen.
Trey Regis with 2 touchdowns on 11 carries. Robbie Calais?
Raymond Calais?
Is it Raymond Calais?
Ray yeah. Calais, yeah.
Is it Calais? Because somebody said it. They said it differently on ESPN. I don't know who's pronouncing it differently. Either we are or they are, but I think we're pronouncing it
it's,
right.
It's French. It's Calais.
It's Calais, right?
Juno said Calais.
It's Calais? Okay. Yeah. I'm going to trust him. 7 carries, 61 yards, touchdown. Elijah Mitchell, 7 carries, 31 yards, touchdown. All 4 of their running backs had touchdowns.
Yeah,
it was a total beatdown by this team by a better, a more physical, and I'm going to say it, a better coach team. Billy Napier, I think, is second best coach in this league right now.
Well,
yes,
obviously,
their coach is their team is the best, is the second best team, but I Sean Elliott, I think was really close to being the second best. Sean Elliott might win coach of the year in Sun Belt. I'm going to change that. Eli Drinkwitz is going to win it just because of all the top 25 wins that they've garnered and his first year. But Billy Napier, you can tell this guy's got a program under him. I mean, people have been talking about Louisiana. Just look at their recruiting classes over the last 3 years. He's bringing in, like, constantly bringing in number one recruiting classes, and now that's showing.
Well, a couple things. First of all, we've talked about at length about how Louisiana has an upper edge on everybody when it comes to recruiting. Oh, yeah. They're going to have 3 stars when Alabama has 2 stars. That's the thing that just happens. Yep. Billy Napier, another thing, though, I will say, give him credit for, he rebuilt this program out of a program that had been just absolute nothing. Yep. All of the NCAA violations and the what is the word I'm thinking of?
Probation.
The probation, mm-hmm. all of that, the vacated wins, mm-hmm. all of that, the program had to rebound from. Mm-hmm. They went out and get this guy, and he absolutely turned the culture around.
What tree did he come from?
Nick Saban.
There you go.
Yep.
He's certainly showing the Nick Saban tree right now. So, no, that, I mean, just there's a, we were talking about tiers. We talked about 2A, 2B, 2C, all those teams. We had always have put App State, Louisiana in tier one. There is a huge gap between, I think, tier one and tier two teams right now.
Absolutely.
I don't think that it's as close as what we thought for most of the season. I think App State and Louisiana have been, we've always said that they're the 1A,
1B.
Yeah.
But
I don't think 2A, 2B, and 2C are close to 1A and 1B.
Nope. Well, let's go up to Atlanta real quick. South Alabama and Georgia State. It looked really ugly. Should have been a lot uglier, though.
Yeah, it really should have. Georgia State, I mean, they only got 28 points. I credit South's defense. The last 3 weeks since that App State game, that defense has kept this team in ball games. It really has. And you're also transitioning to finally Desmond Trotter, who he's still learning the offense, granted, but he didn't play bad. I mean,
he didn't.
12 of 25 for 218 yards, 2 touchdowns. Yes, he had an interception.
But that's solid stats right there.
But he also had 14 carries for 37 yards. I mean, so he's part of the run game as well, which is very interesting to see them kind of move to that type of offense. That's not a Kenny Edenfield type of offense, I can tell you that. But that defense just keeps him in ball games.
Georgia State, even with a banged up Dan Ellington playing in this game. Ellington, 21 of 27 for 208 yards, two touchdowns, an interception. But Mr. Trey Barnett, we got to. He's going to be my Been On Sports player of the week. I know this is kind of off the cuff here. Trey Barnett went over for 2,000 yards in his career at Georgia State. One, hats off for that. You get 2,000 yards anywhere, that means you're running the ball great for your career. So hats off for him. He's my Been On Sports guy. This week, 23 carries, 128 yards, and a touchdown. That's good. I mean, you get 100 yards. This South defense is not, it's not what they were a couple years ago, but they aren't, they don't, I mean, we saw what they did to Louisiana last. They did a lot better than Troy did against Louisiana last week than what Troy did this week. So, I mean, that's a, they're a better defense. They're an improving defense. But again, Georgia State, still, they're just too physical up front. And they, this game, it 28-15 looks a lot closer. I think it was like 28-9. I think South got a late score.
They did.
If I look, yep. Yeah, South scored with 49 seconds to go in the game to get it to double digits.
But, I mean, here's the thing. You look at South's 1-10 record, and you look at the, what was it, 4-8, 3-10 last, 2-10 last year, and you think this is a garbage team. We talked about it just now with Billy Napier. Steve Campbell's having to change the culture at his school. He's got to make it his own. He has been, we've talked about it for years now too. They've scheduled incredibly difficult teams. They're playing a conference that's getting incredibly better, and they haven't, yes, and the offense has been anemic, but if you look at the strides this team has taken since the beginning of his career at South, this team has gotten better. The defense has gotten a lot better than it almost ever was under Joey Jones. Yep. And it the turnaround takes growth, takes time. And if you're looking at this 1-10 season, seeing it as a failure, you're not looking at it the right way.
No, I mean, you go just 20-17 to Georgia Southern. 30-3. I know it's 30-3, but against a good App State team.
Appalachian State.
30-28 Texas State. That was the game that they really needed to win.
They should have won, yeah.
They should have won. 10-point loss to Louisiana. Only held them to 37 and put up 27. This was an anemic offense that put up 27 points on Louisiana. And then finally, the 13-point loss. It was 28-3 with about 7 minutes to go, and they got two touchdowns to make it. They put up
almost 12. Pulled it off. Almost pulled off the 28-3.
So they almost did. So, but again, not okay. They aren't wins, but they're, you can see glimpses of it. And yeah, 1-10, we don't have a lot to fight for. But
comparatively, compared to seasons past, those wouldn't have been as close. Those wouldn't have been as close under Joey Jones. They wouldn't have been as close last year. The thing is, he is building consistency. And that is something that program needed. Yes, under Joey Jones, you say, yeah, well, we had the highs, but we also had the lows. But it was all over the place. The wins were close, very close, good wins. But the lows were so low. He is building consistency at South. And I think that he's got to be commended for the job he's done in changing what was a one-sided, one-focused program into something else.
Since they've switched to Desmond Trotter, they've been competitive in all three games. 30-28, 37-27, and 28-15. Competitive in those
Imagine
three games.
If they had made that switch at the beginning of the year. They would have three wins with wins over Texas State.
I mean, they're
Southern.
I know they don't have the W's that fans, and that's what I talked about last week, is and they still have that shot. They still have Arkansas State this week.
It's the last
at home.
In the last game at Ladd.
A lot of emotion at Ladd. We'll get into that game. But I think there's little things that since I like, that's what I'm going to take. If I'm a South fan, you've got to focus on, okay, Desmond Trotter's a freshman quarterback. Since we've made that switch, we've been more competitive in ball games since we've made that switch. There's what you look forward to all year long, all offseason long, saying, okay, we made the switch. There's something here. There's something brewing here. That Desmond Trotter, he's a what's the coach's name? God, blanking on it.
Edenfield?
Yeah, Edenfield. He's an Edenfield guy. He's not a Joey Jones guy. So there you go. Cephus Johnson, that was Joey Jones guy. And then finally, Texas State and Appalachian State. I will say Texas State held in with this one. This game at half, it was 14-10 at half.
Kind of impressive.
That's kind of how South was, right? I mean, when South played them, I mean, the defenses kept these two teams in the ballgame. 14-10, obviously, App State did what they do, what good teams do, and they separate in the second half. Got the win 35-13. Zach Thomas had another pretty stellar game, just another workmanlike game, 50% passing. He didn't really have to do much. Darrington Evans, 154 yards. He's the guy who did, I think I might have found your Ben On Sports Player of the Week. 21 carries, 154 yards.
I'll take it.
Three touchdowns. There's your Ben On Sports guy for the week. So he also was 1 of 1 in passing, by the way, for a 14-yard pass. So there you go.
Look, was it a touchdown?
And it was not a touchdown, dang, but he can pass, as quoted.
He does it all.
He can do it all, and he can pass. So, but out of that game, App State did lose our Ben On Sports Player of the Week from the
last
previous week.
Yeah.
Corey Sutton, I hope that's not like a trend. hope it's not a trend. But again, first of all, in all seriousness, hopefully he recovers. He had torn ACL.
He's done for the season.
This
should
late.
Be back next year.
Yeah, he's a junior. He can recover from it.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. ACLs, 20 years ago, that was a career ender that's a career-ending injury. Now, it's not. I mean, I'm not trying to take anything away from his injury, but now it is a perfectly, it's a rehabable injury that isn't something that will just decimate a person's career.
And we see that in Caleb Barker.
There you go.
So
that was the week that was.
Yeah, and it was
a week.
So let's take a step back now. Let's look at the non-football side of things in Around the Belt.
Around the Belt.
And Around the Belt, we've got one championship, actually two championships
two.
Wrapped up last
Dos.
Week. Dos championships. Ralph, what do you think about that? He's quiet.
Yep.
The commercial break.
I think what happened was we gave him too much birdseed.
I think, and I don't think we gave him the right kind.
No. You might be right.
Was Kibble and Bits? Is that the same?
Okay. I thought that's what you're supposed to give turkeys. Anyway.
It was turkey flavored. I think he's mad at us. Okay. So Arkansas State and Louisiana, we pegged that game as being a very important game because both those two teams took Texas State. One of them beat them. The other one took them to 5 games.
Yep.
Or 5 sets, whatever it is. Arkansas State, the 8th seed, which is the last seed to get in, upset, beat Louisiana 3-2 in the first round. And also in the other side of the bracket, UTA knocked off App State. UTA was the 7th overall seed.
So you already out of the gate, so to speak. You had Arkansas number 8 and number 7 already moving on to the next round.
Mm-hmm. And then Arkansas State faced a really, really good Troy team. 22 wins
on
the year.
Hot streak.
Just had a really good year. I mean, I think they tied or broke the record for most wins in a season. Took them to 5 sets and kind of lost a heartbreaker. They had 6 match points. Arkansas State did in the 5th set. You only go to 15, so literally they had match point 6 times to get there, and Troy prevailed in that one 3-2. And then on the other side, South Alabama, the 3 seed, they were upset by the 7th seed UTA in 5 games. What an incredible match that was, 3-2. And then so both those two teams, Troy and UTA, meet the 2 powerhouse teams,
right?
That we both
the ones that we were
about.
Like, hey, you know, it's gonna be one of these two. But
yeah, it Texas State. There's a difference. Texas State.
The combined points here was 6-1.
Yeah, in the sets.
In the sets. Yeah.
I will say Texas State beat Troy, I think 25-14, 25-14, 25-18, which if you don't get over 15 points,
it's not great.
That's not good. And then Coastal Carolina ended what was the magical Cinderella run of the UTA Mavericks, 3-1, and both Texas State and Coastal Carolina met in the championship match. The first set went 26-24 Texas State, and they ended up winning 3-1 Texas State, which how we kind of both picked. wins the 2019 Sun Belt Women's Volleyball Championship at home, mind you. At home.
Their coach, we mentioned her.
Yeah, God, what was her name? We mentioned her like first week.
But
either way, another championship. It's like a walk in the park.
Keeps
at this
going.
Point.
Just keeps going.
It's like the Patriots. At
obviously,
this point.
Texas State has a powerhouse in volleyball there.
Yeah, their women's sports are really good. Like their softball team's really good. Their soccer teams are pretty good. So Texas State takes home the 2019 Women's Sun Belt Championship.
To the surprise of no one.
Yeah, to literally no one. That wraps up volleyball. Texas State will get an automatic bid into the NCAA tournament. That will probably be, by the time you're listening to this, it'll probably be the Monday after that you listen to this, because I think Big Ten, all the big schools, all the big conferences are wrapping up their conference championships as of this week. And then we roll into men's soccer. We talked about Coastal Carolina getting the big win in the Sun Belt Championship last recording. Since then, played two games, played NC State in the Rally little region,
yeah,
and knocked off NC State in double overtime on a golden goal. Epic game, 3-2, Coastal Carolina.
You do what you gotta
it's
do.
It's been a while since a Sun Belt team had advanced past the first round, so that was one in and of itself a great feat for Coastal Carolina. Then they go and they play the number three ranked in the country, mm-hmm, SMU Mustangs. That's right, the Ponies. I don't think they pay their players like they did like back in the 80s.
No.
That was a different sport, but whatever. Took them to double overtime. Unfortunately, it was not the same luck as the Ponies got the golden goal.
It's impressive to see a Sun Belt team make it that far.
Yeah.
And anytime.
And then compete.
Yeah.
You know, compete. Like,
to be competitive.
Okay, they just beat an ACC school. ACC is like, when it comes to soccer, ACC is that they're tops. I mean, Pac-12, ACC, they're the tops. So for them to go out and beat an ACC school, basically at home, I mean, I know Coastal Carolina, North Carolina State,
Yeah, but
another win,
still,
though, for the group of five
schools.
They didn't
have to travel that far.
Another win for the small Carolina schools over the big Carolina schools.
We'll take it.
There you go. So we'll take that one. That'll wrap it up on volleyball and men's soccer. Women's soccer, I think South Alabama, they got knocked out by Florida State in their first round of their game. South Alabama, they won the Sun Belt Championship, obviously.
Fifth out of 6 years.
But they were knocked out by Florida State earlier in the week as well last week.
Basketball, not a lot to talk about. Troy, an impressive almost win over Texas A&M, but that was about it.
Almost. I think the most impressive win so far this year for the Sun Belt is Coastal Carolina.
Absolutely.
They had a 22-point win over Utah, which is it's a solid win. I mean, Utah isn't,
it's a Power 5 school.
It's not Duke, but it's a Power 5 school.
It's a Power 5 school.
And a 20-point win over them. Definitely a good showing so early on. UTA already has a conference win somehow.
They played Arkansas State.
Really?
Yeah. According to our records, they played Arkansas State.
Wow.
I don't know. You know what?
I don't think that's right.
I don't think it is right. No. It's Arkansas Tech. Arkansas State has an 0-1 conference record here somehow. But
they already penciled them in for a January 2nd matchup with UTA, and they've already lost the game somehow.
You're right.
A little strange. That away, Sun Belt.
I'm so glad we looked into this, because this is bizarre. It literally says win 85-68 at Arkansas State
on January 2nd. They're predicting. Yep. Okay, screenshot that.
I'm not gonna.
The Sun Belt might have some betting going on if they've already penciled them in for a win.
Let me find it. Let me scroll down to it in the full schedule, because y'all, we're going on a ride with y'all, everybody. Stick around with us.
This is Thanksgiving.
And we're taking you on.
Grab your biscuits and slop some turkey on there. And
grab me a roll and some sweet potatoes. Yeah, it's literally already penciled in.
How has it already been played? Okay, y'all.
Let's look at the box score. Let's look at the box score. This is a box score.
Now, this is going to be incredible.
Oh, I got it right. They mixed it up with the Arkansas Tech game.
Oh, they did. Okay. Okay, so UT Arlington was the team that played Arkansas Tech, correct?
Yes. Arkansas State has not played UT Arlington.
Somebody might want to let them know.
Yeah, I think we're letting them know.
Okay, all right. Well, if you are listening, Sun Belt.
Well, I'm glad you went along with us.
You need to check on your scores, because somehow, some way.
On their website right now, as of this recording, it is listed as UTA 85 and Arkansas State 68. I am going to grab a screenshot of that.
Incredible if that's what the actual score of that game ends up being.
that I would be
that would
away.
Be incredible. So so I mean, I think the most impressive win really has been Coastal Carolina to this point, with the win over Utah. We haven't, there hasn't been, South came close. Throw up those standings for me if you can, real quick.
We'll get back to them. 3-2-1 standings.
Okay. We've got a couple teams with four wins already. Texas State, South Alabama, Louisiana, UTA. Oh, shocker. Those were the four top four teams picked for preseason. So everybody has a win so far. Well, Arkansas State apparently has five wins, but they're at the bottom. Okay, that's interesting.
They're listed as 5-2. This should be 5-1.
Yeah, 5-1. Okay.
So they actually do have the best record
okay,
overall.
So, Arkansas State has the best record in the conference at 5-1. Right now, they are not on a one-game losing streak, as the Sun Belt has shown. I think they have a close loss to Ole Miss at this point. Everybody else kind of a... That Colorado State game, that's in Fort Collins, that's a good win. Pretty solid win for them. So, it's still early. Women's basketball... Troy scoring a lot of points, like usual. That's pretty much what women's basketball is at this point.
No real report other than, oh my goodness, why is UTA beating Arkansas State?
Yeah, that's that we are uncovering
groundbreaking. We weren't even going to like talk much about basketball.
Groundbreaking stuff here on the Bench Boys podcast.
We know the Sun Belt better than even the Sun Belt knows the Sun Belt.
Ralph, you got anything to say? No. Okay.
I think he might be dead.
I think I fired up the oven and he thought of it. So we're slowly going to be putting this bird into the oven here next. All right.
Well, and speaking of which,
what are we talking about with the Thanksgiving turkey, buddy?
Let's get into our best bets.
I'll give you a best bet. Ralph Hinkle will make it by the end of this podcast.
Best bets. Welfare check on Ralph real quick. You doing okay, Ralph? You okay, buddy?
Ralph's not moving.
He's not moving. You got the oven ready, though?
Yeah.
All right, let's do it.
Stuffing's been prepped.
Okay, cool.
Okay, we haven't stuffed the bird yet, but I think Ralph is, Ralph ain't gonna make it, y'all. Okay, so now, best bets. We've got South Alabama and Ark State. We got two games on Friday.
Yep.
On Black Friday.
Mm-hmm.
South Alabama 1-10 hosting its final game in Ladd Peoples.
I really wish I could be there. I really wanted to be there.
Final game.
But you know, work.
Work smart.
Mm-hmm.
South Alabama and Arkansas State. You want to pick them.
Yeah. But I think the theme should not be Black Friday, but Blackout Friday.
There you go.
Because Arkansas State is just going to wipe the floor with South.
Yeah.
I mean, South has a solid defense, but...
Nope. Sorry, Ark State all over it. Yep. They're 12.5. They're going to cover, and Ark State gets to 8 wins again and goes to the Cure Bowl.
Yep.
The other game on Friday features a team that's 10-1.
Yep.
The opposite of 1-10.
Yep.
That is the 24th-ranked Appalachian State. Or is it Appalachian?
Appalachian.
God, I always get it wrong.
They're ranked number 22, depending on who you ask.
Yeah, CFP 22.
No, that's the one that matters, but yeah.
They're taking on Troy in Troy, Alabama. This game has been an epic game the last probably 3 years.
Yep.
It's going to be a lot different this week.
Yep.
The way Troy played this weekend, you saw an offense get bottled up. This is the best defense in the conference right here. And I think App State rolls, easily covers a 13-point spread.
Blackout Friday.
Going for App State again. App State goes 11-1, their only blemish to Georgia Southern on the year.
And impressive.
11-1.
You know, there are a lot of people who are going to be in Statesboro who are happy with that result.
Yeah.
They went 11-1 and their only loss was to the rival. Yeah. You know how many times, like, that is one of those either or questions on college football tests. Would you rather your person go 1-11 with a win against you or 11-1 with a loss to you? Well, everybody picks 11-1 with a loss to the rival.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what happened this year. Couldn't have gone better for, well, Georgia Southern, but
yeah, I think App State fans
proud of
11-1. There's a big game that I'm going to go off way off cuff here because
go for it.
It's Thanksgiving. There's a huge game that we didn't originally have listed this week, but I think this is probably the game of the year for Group of Five, actually.
Okay.
We have the 15th ranked Memphis Tigers also playing on Friday.
Okay.
Taking on the 19th ranked Cincinnati Bearcats.
This is literally
the battle. Well, it's the best team out of the West and the best team out of the East. That's basically how it is. Memphis 6-1 in conference, Cincinnati 7-0. Both teams come in 10-1. App State fans are looking at this game because they want to see the, I think that they're out. I don't think they're going to get into the NY6. No. I think they're out. Because the Memphis and Cincinnati schedules are just too strong right now. But both of these two teams, and depending on what happens with Navy, I don't think Memphis has wrapped up their side yet. Cincinnati's definitely in their championship. But if Navy somehow loses to Army in 2 weeks, and, well, nope, Navy's going to finish at 6-1 as well. That's really strange. Hold on a second here. Hold on. No, Navy plays Houston this coming week. My bad.
Yeah.
Sorry.
So
so if Navy somehow loses to Houston, doesn't matter if Memphis loses or wins because Memphis has the tiebreaker over that. So, or do they? Yes, they do. Sorry, we are just off the rails at this point.
It's cool. No, but we're all over the place.
That's a huge game. App State fans are going to be watching that. Two 10-1 teams in that game. I'm just going to go right out. I'm going to say Memphis. I think they just their offense, it's at Memphis. This week we need to give our assistant news director some hell all week long talking about some Cincinnati because he's a Memphis grad.
Yeah.
So excuse me, it was 18 versus 19.
I'm gonna change my pick at the 11th hour. I'm gonna go Cincy because I love chaos. Okay. I'm a fan of chaos, of chaos. I want to see it happen. I want to see App State get in somehow. I'm probably gonna be Memphis, but we're adding this one at the last minute, so I'm gonna change at the last minute. Cincinnati over Memphis. Why not?
Yeah, that was literally a last minute ad, y'all. So that's the Friday games. Those are some big games. App State fans, they're going to be watching that. They're going to be, one, watching the Troy game because they need to win that game first. So Saturday, we go Texas State, Coastal Carolina. Coastal Carolina obviously coming off of that really, really tough loss to ULM. I think Coastal Carolina, I think they roll. I think they run too well, and I just think they're too much. They're a 7-point favorite. I think they cover that. I'm going to go with Coastal Carolina. This might be my favorite week here. Just favorites week. I should say. So then we got the two statehood battles.
I love how you just I agree with you as Coastal, but we just blew through it. Anyway, battle for the states. Which one you want to go first, West or East?
Let's go East.
All right.
Let's go for Georgia.
State,
Atlanta.
Not Southern, Southern, not State.
Yeah, your Falcons, I just want to say this, are sticking. They're hanging on.
Falcons.
Atlanta Falcons.
What about them?
They're hanging on.
Barely.
They aren't out of the playoffs yet. If they just win out, right? Or did they lose this past weekend?
Oh, they lost this past weekend.
Oh, so they're kind of out now.
Yeah, it's gone.
There's been some 8-8 teams that have made the playoffs.
You know what? I'm just gonna say this: as long as there's a win later today on Thanksgiving, we'll be fine.
Okay.
Anyway,
so we're gonna go to State and Southern.
State, not Southern.
State, not Southern. Are you picking State, not Southern?
I'm picking State, not Southern.
Why are you picking State, not Southern?
Just because I feel like it's a better team overall. Yes, Dan Ellington's out, but I mean, the guy can still play on an ACL tear, and he did pretty well against South Alabama last week. I think if he sticks in there, he can do better against Southern than he did against App State. Southern, I'm just not a big fan of them. They're missing something right now.
Okay.
In my opinion.
Well, Vegas has different mind. Georgia Southern's a touchdown favorite at home.
Yeah.
Somehow, I really think it's the Dan Ellington factor. I'm gonna go Georgia Southern. I'm gonna flip on you, and I think home field advantage. Georgia Southern, they're trying to finish off a 7-5 season. They're 6-5. They're trying to definitely solidify a bowl bid. They would be the fifth team, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna go Georgia Southern on this one. I think Cywertz finally gets it into gear. Without having Dan Ellington, this team, you can rely on Trey Barnett for only so long. So
you're right.
And then finally, the other statehood battle, Louisiana and UL Monroe. UL Monroe is trying to basically play spoiler.
Yeah.
To a really good Louisiana team.
I mentioned it on Twitter earlier this week. Louisiana has yet to get a 10-win season in its entire 49-year history. Wow. They have never cracked more than 9 wins. And that includes the vacated win seasons. They only had 9 wins in each of those. So it is definitely playing spoiler there. And ULM would also love to crash the bowl party if they can get a win here.
Yeah, they would. I'm kind of internally rooting for them because
right.
It would give me my season prediction of I thought at the beginning of the year, I thought that the Sun Belt would get 6 teams. And I thought that there would be something there, some sort of problem with that 6 team. If they somehow pull off the miracle, which, throw out the records, it's statehood battle. You know, we know. But I think Louisiana, just too much.
Absolutely.
They're too physical. They're a 21-point favorite.
They had a tune-up game against Troy.
Yeah, they really did. Because Troy was the better passing team, and they completely shut Troy down. So, I think Louisiana's too. We get another 10-win team. I think this is the third year in a row that we've had multiple 10-win teams in this conference, which is really, really good. Last year we had 3. We had Troy, App State, and Georgia Southern.
Mm-hmm.
This year we only get 2 if Louisiana wins this. But that's still good. You got two teams, and the best thing is that they're both in different divisions. That's the best thing, that you have two 10-win teams. So one of those, if Louisiana wins this, one of those two teams is going to get 11 wins, possibly 12 if they go out and win their bowl game. So that's a good thing for the conference. But I think Louisiana is just too much. It's just too much ground game, I think. And Monroe, their defense is just bad. It's just really bad. 480 yards. They're giving up 250 on the ground.
The only defenses worse than Troy, I think.
Yeah. They're giving up 400. Troy, statistically, they were getting better. They were down to, I think, 408 yards total until last week. But ULM, they're giving up 250 yards rushing, and they have yet to play the best running team in the conference. I think Louisiana runs all over them. I really do. They're averaging 39 points a game. They're only giving up 16.7 points a game. That's really good. Let me put this in perspective. Ohio State is giving up 10 points a game. Louisiana is only giving up 6 more points than them every game.
One more touchdown than Ohio State.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's impressive. Let me put that into what a turnaround. I mean, I remember at the beginning of the year, we talked about this defense. They were giving up 250 in the air and 250 on the ground last year. This year, 185 in the air, 166 on the ground. That is a complete flip of a defense. That is what you want to see of a third-year head coach. That is a culture change, which we've seen it. That's a character change, and that's a program change right there. That they have decided we're going to play some defense, and they're doing exactly that. We've still got a championship game. They played earlier this year. It was 17-7.
Yeah.
That's App State in no way has that championship game wrapped up. That is going to be one heck of a game. App State obviously gets them at home this time. Earlier they played at goodness gracious, Lafayette. I think UL rolls. I don't know if they cover. 21, that's a lot. 21's a lot.
Yeah.
Even though they just beat Troy by 50.
You know what? I'll take it. I think they cover. ULM's just not as potent as Troy is, and Troy wasn't potent at all last week. So,
yeah.
Army at Hawaii, it's a Sunday game, and you got the Army versus the team all the way out west in Hawaii. So
when you say Sunday game...
I have Sunday written down.
It says it starts at 11 o'clock Central Time.
11 o'clock Central Time?
Yeah.
Then they're going to be playing on Sunday.
They'll be playing on Sunday.
By the time it rolls around.
So it works. It works. Hawaii, 8-4. Cole McDonald, 3,100 yards passing, 26 touchdowns. But he's got 13 interceptions. So that is just slinging the rock all over the place. Army, they basically have one player, and that is Kelvin Hopkins Jr. He is their do-it-all quarterback. Leads the team in passing, obviously, and leads the team in rushing as well with 619 yards.
Now, they almost took it to Michigan earlier this year, am I right? Or was that last year?
No, that was this year. They lost to Michigan in double overtime, 24-21.
But they really haven't been that good since. They're only 5-6 right now.
Yeah, they beat UTSA, Morgan State, watch
ooh.
Out, and lost to Georgia State, lost to San Jose State, and then just lost to Air Force, beat UMass, which I think UMass might go down as the worst team in the history of football. We can talk about that maybe next week. They have given up more points than the 2018 UConn team.
All right.
They beat that.
All right.
They've given up 650-something points this year.
We'll debate that next week.
Next week. But they did. Army did just get the big win over the other military institute, VMI.
The important one, of course.
The important one. So, Hawaii, Army's traveling out to Hawaii. I think it's too much of a drive for Army, too much of a flight.
I agree with you.
They're landlocked type of guys.
Hawaii's fantastic this year. This is the Hawaii we wanted to see last year when we were talking about Cole McDonald the whole time.
Like our turkey.
Oh, yeah.
Army is landlocked.
Yeah, he is landlocked.
Ralph is landlocked too. Yeah, he's about to be locked into an oven.
I mean,
I'm going to go Hawaii.
I'm going to go Hawaii too.
Okay, good pick.
So, we're pretty similar across the board there.
Yeah, I think the only thing that we flipped up on was Georgia Southern, Georgia State.
Yeah, but that's a pick'em game too.
Yeah.
So we'll keep an eye on all those games and more. As we get closer to the postseason, we also have awards season.
We do.
Final word.
Yeah, that's right, Thomas. It is a postseason award season here. We are basically, I think they hand them out before the bowl games start.
Yeah.
I think that's how it goes.
It was for the regular season.
Yeah, for the regular season. But the list came out of the finalists and of all these awards when we talked Outland, the Jim Thorpe, Davy O'Brien, the Maxwell, the Ray guy, and basically all the awards but the Heisman. The list came out, the finalist list. Which is just three players for most of these. Heisman, I think, invites five. I think they might invite three. You only get three for the finalist decisions. And this was the shocking thing to me, and this is why it's our final word, was the fact that there is literally one G5 player that got nominated to the or was picked to be in the finalist portion of all of the awards. One guy. And that was for the best punter. That is the Ray Guy Award. Dane Roy out of Houston was the only G5 pick out of the entire G5. I think it's a travesty. I think it's a slap in the face to all G5 players that if these awards are so factored now on notoriety of what team you play on, notoriety of what your name is, and notoriety of where you're going to go in the NFL draft. I think that's all these are based on. And I think it's a big slap in the face to guys that have incredible seasons in Group of Five conferences, such as the Sun Belt, such as the MAC, such as the American. There has been some great, great seasons had by quarterbacks not in the SEC, not in the Big 12, not in the ACC, not named Trevor Lawrence, not named Jalen Hurts, not named Joe Burrow. There's been great seasons had. The guy that comes to mind, I think, for us Sunbelt fans, easy. We've talked about him all year long, Omar Bayless. Omar Bayless has had probably the best year ever in Sunbelt history. I mean, he's literally broken all the Sunbelt records. He has 80 receptions on the year. He has 15 touchdowns, which is tied for the most in the country. He leads the country in total yards receivings. He also has the longest touchdown reception of the year at 92 yards. He was not included on the three finalists for the Biletnikoff Award, which included Ja'Marr Chase of LSU, CeeDee Lamb of Oklahoma, and Michael Pittman Jr. of a four-loss USC team. Four-loss USC team. Michael Pittman Jr., I will give you this. He has 1,200 yards receiving on 95 receptions. Ja'Marr Chase has 63 receptions for 1,260 yards, but has 15 touchdowns, which is tied with Omar Bayless. But then the guy that I don't understand is Mr. CeeDee Lamb. Actually, I do understand CeeDee Lamb. He plays for Oklahoma. Oklahoma is what? Ranked in the top eight? Oklahoma has Jalen Hurts on their team. There's your notoriety. That and you and me, and we whenever we had Chase Gage, we literally asked Chase Gage, does he get it? And Chase even said, this was 6 weeks ago, because yeah, he's not going to win it. Even if he does all the things that he does, that even if he has incredible year, he's still not going to win it. And he was right. And to be honest with you, this is a final word of me not being, I'm not shocked. It's just really disappointing, because what are these guys, nobody, I mean, Bayless should be rewarded. You're leading the country in receiving yards. You're leading the country in touchdowns. And you've done it not with a Jalen Hurts throwing you the ball. Not with a Joe Burrow throwing you the ball. You've done it with a freshman quarterback throwing you the ball for pretty much, what, 8 of the 12 games? Because Logan Bonner went out in week 4. So he's doing all of this basically by himself with a freshman throwing the ball. Problem is, and what we've all talked about, why we do this show, because these guys don't get the national stage. That's how simple it is. And it's crap because this guy is one of the better wide receivers in the country, I think. I mean, the numbers, I'm a numbers guy. There's your numbers. Leads the country in receiving yards. CeeDee Lamb didn't play 2 games. He got hurt. Didn't even play. Somehow he's still a finalist. So it's just another slap in the face to G5, guys. It sucks because there's a lot of good players, obviously. Go look at the NFL and go look at all the G5 guys that are in the NFL that are having great that have great careers. So that's my final word. I don't know if you have anything that you wanted to add on.
I do, and I'm looking at the all-purpose rankings, the rankings for all-purpose yards right now. And the top 10, we have 1, 2, 3 group of 5 guys in the all-purpose yards column. I will say that's a huge part of it. I went through a bunch of stats while you were talking there, and not a lot of these stats were led by players on group of 5 teams. Don't know why that is, but I feel like that's a correlation, and I'm not gonna argue, but I agree with you that a lot of these players and teams are not getting the notoriety. I agree with that. I will say I'm changing my bet on sports player of the week this late in the game. Okay. You see that guy right there, number 5?
Yeah, I do.
Trey Minter's South Alabama is the number 5 all-purpose yards in the country right now. Now, a big part of that is his 567 kickoff return yards because South Alabama returns kickoffs a lot. But the dude has 951 rushing yards and almost 200 receiving yards. So I'm going to give it to Trey Minter just because South Alabama needs something this year, and Trey Minter has been that person they've needed. He's performed. He is one of the best backs in the conference, but you can't tell because he's not on one of the best teams, and there's your notoriety. I think that's the final word.
Yeah. I mean, that's a good final word. It sucks. It really does. I think Omar, I know we did that poll
about a week ago,
who's the player of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Cale Barker, I thought going into the week, had a better chance. I think Omar might have something to say about that, just because of how not Omar did show up again in the Georgia Southern game. But just Cale Barker not showing up at Louisiana, that might have drawn him back.
But also, we also had a bunch of Georgia State people hopping in there, too. So, Look at that. Trey Minter, never mind. Trey Barnett's somewhere on here. I bet he's close.
Darrington Evans was number 10.
Yep. I think it's worth pointing out that Darrington Evans, that Appalachian State had a player on there, too. And that has a lot more to do with his actual performance in game.
Yeah, his running game.
So
that's the final word. That's the episode. Ralph, I'm going to let everybody know, he's in the oven now.
Mm-hmm.
He
smells so good.
It's going to be amazing. I hope Pete is not mad.
Well, mad? I don't know what bread has to do with anything, but it's a political joke. Anyway, y'all have a happy Thanksgiving. If y'all follow, hit the subscribe button while you're listening. Make sure to follow us on Twitter. He's at Colin Cahill. I'm at Thomas Gleaton. It's at Colin Cahill 13, isn't it? Yeah, at Colin Cahill 13. I didn't do that right last week. I'm going to do it right this week. We are the Bench Boys. That's at the OG Bench Boys, wherever podcasts are found. What are your plans? I know we're recording ahead of time. What are your actual plans?
Well, I got people coming into town.
Okay.
Wife's parents coming into town. But no, I think this is an important time. Thanksgiving is a really important time to really just spend time with your family.
You're right.
And 2019, you're going to have a great 2020. We're getting down to marriage time here for you.
Don't even talk about it.
Let me tell you something. 2019 has been full of great things for me and my family. my new wife, we got married in April, and just a lot of blessings, and I'm thankful for a lot of things, and Thanksgiving is that time to be with your family and be thankful. And there's a lot of people that can't spend the day or the night or the weekend with their family. And if you are going to a Thanksgiving dinner, lunch, wherever, and listening to us, if you already have, just be thankful to be with your family and just all of your relatives, your mom, your dad. Just be thankful for where you are in life, because there's a lot of times, there's a lot of people in this country, in this world, that don't have it as good as we do. And just, that's the biggest thing, is just be thankful for what you have. That would be my thing to say to everybody. So I hope everyone has a happy Thanksgiving. Thomas, I hope you have a wonderful Thanksgiving, because you finally get it off, right? Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, I'm finally off on Thanksgiving.
So, I hope everybody has a happy Thanksgiving and just safe holidays. Well, obviously I think we'll be back next week, with another episode. It's the holiday season. I've already decorated.
We have too.
You have? Oh, yeah. Lord. Well, with that being said, come on back.